Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. It is the parable of the prodigal son this morning I want to talk about. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Someone asked me the other day, who's coming home? On our sign, we have, welcome home. Well, it's not me. That welcome home is for someone that's gone astray, some life that's not pleasing to God. We want you to know that you're always welcome in God's house. God loves you, and He wants you to come to Him. That's welcome home. Here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much today for your blessings. God, I thank you for the privilege of being pastor of this great church. And Lord, be able to speak about you and tell people about you. And God, that's our privilege as your children to spread the word. And God, this morning, if there's someone here like this prodigal son, they've gone astray. God, they've been out in the country living a riotous living life. Lord, I pray that this morning they may come home. We give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Welcome home. God, for God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, what, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a good passage of scripture that simply says, come home. Welcome home. Welcome to God. You know, I loved you so much that I've given it all. We see here in this passage of scripture the love of the Father. You know, God loves us, doesn't he? I remember over in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the world. And in the Garden of Eden, it was a beautiful place. Oh, I couldn't describe how beautiful it was because I don't have the words to describe it. But in that garden, there was no sin there. It was perfect. The Bible says God put Adam there, and he walked with him in the cool of the day, and he walked with him in the cool of the evening, and he had a fellowship with Adam. Isn't that great to know that our God loves to have a fellowship with us? And he walked with Adam and talked with him, and he said, Adam, you can eat of the whole garden. Everything's yours. You'll never die here. Gave him a helpmate. Beautiful, wasn't it? He said, but you one thing you can't do. You can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now, he wasn't talking about a physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death. That fellowship with God. That unending separation. If you eat of that tree, it's going to separate us. And you know what happened. The Bible tells us that on a day that Adam ate of that tree, he just disobeyed God, didn't he? He chose in his own life to disobey God. God came looking for Adam, and he's walking in that garden. I can see it now. He comes into that garden, and there Adam is hiding. He knows he's sinned against him, doesn't he? He knows he's done wrong. And he says, Adam, where are you? You see, God wants Adam to speak up. God knows where he's at. God knows what he's done, because God knows everything. He knows that Adam has sinned and that fellowship's no longer there like it was. Adam says, Lord, I'm hiding because I'm naked. He said, who told you you were naked? And Adam said, Lord, we ate of the tree. God killed a lamb and used his skin to cover Adam and Eve. And then he had to push them out of the Garden of Eden and close the door. That's kind of a sad story, isn't it? Closed the door behind him. Said, Adam, you can never go back in. But you know, for God so loved the world, he wanted to fellowship with us. And the only way he would do that was send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary, that he might once again have fellowship with man. And he said, whosoever shall call on my name, what? Shall be saved. Not may be saved, but shall be saved. When someone is separated from God, they're out in the world, they're living a horrible life. Many times someone says, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. I could never go back to church, preacher. I've committed adultery. I could never go back to church, preacher. I've murdered someone. That's not what the Bible says. God says, whosoever will may come. You see? That's the love of the Father. Now, you may be here this morning and that kind of fits your life. You've been separated from God. You see, we not only see the love of God. Oh, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I want you to come to me, all ye that are labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see? That's the love of the Father this morning. He wants to have fellowship. Like he said, he said, forbid not the little children to come unto me. You see? I want you to come to me. And he tells us as born-again believers to go into the world and tell people to come to him. No matter what they've done, you come. He says, if we'll just confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the love of the Father saying, welcome home. I've got a place for you. I love John 14:1 when Jesus was in the upper room and he said to his disciples, I'm going to go away for a while. They said, oh, Lord, where are you going? He said, I'm going into my Father's house. He said, but you know what? If I go to my Father's house, I will come back. And I'll receive you into myself, that where I am, what there you may be also. And that's what he wants us to do, is come to him so that we can be in the Father's house. At the end of time, when everything is closed and the world is no more, and there's that time of judgment. God wants you to be in His field. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to live with Him forever. He said, I came that you might have life, eternal life. I wish that none should perish, but that all should what? Have everlasting life. So we see the love of the Father. He wants you to come home. When I drove by that sign the other day and I saw that, I began to think on this message and I said, Lord, I hope people will come. I hope people that are out there and they feel like they have no other hope will come. And then I came in and I began to read the prodigal son. And I said, you know, that's my life. You see, the prodigal son came to the father and he says, give me my portion of my inheritance. Isn't that like us? We always want something that we don't have. We don't have need for. He had everything in the father's house there. The Bible says he was there. Father took care of his each and everything, but he's always wanting his way. You see, not only do we see the love of the Father, we see the life of the Son. If you're taking notes, that's B. The life of the Son. Well, the life of the Son is one that he wants his inheritance. He didn't deserve it, but he wanted it. And I think a lot of times that's you and I. We always sing, give me, give me, give me. But we don't want to give anything, do we? He said, I want my portion of my goods, and I want it now. In other words, he is saying to his father, give me what's coming to me so I can get out of here. For the Bible says it wasn't but just a short time after the father. And notice the father gave him his goods. That reminds me that our Lord and Savior loves you so much, but he's not going to force you to love him. You know, you've got a choice today. You're sitting there and you're thinking, well, is he talking to me? Well, I don't know. Am I talking to you? If the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and he's saying, yes, he's talking to you, you better listen, for you have a choice to make today. You can either choose God or you can choose the devil. You can have your portion of goods right now. Go out there and live the riotous living this son lived. Boy, the Bible says, and not many days after, the son gathered together, took all his possessions and wasted them in a foreign country, in the prodigal living. He lived a life of immorality. He took all that the father had gave him and he took it out there and he wasted it. He was footloose and fancy free, boy. I've got the world by the tail. I can go out and party. Oh, he partied hard. Yeah, that may be your life. You're thinking, man, young people, you know, I can never forget when I was 18, 19, I thought I was top dog. Man, I had it all. I had a car, I had some money. You know, I had a job. Man, I'm going to go out and party. It doesn't last, does it? This is what this young man did. He took his inheritance, and he just wasted it every bit. Oh, he had friends. You know, I find people out in the world, down at maybe nightclubs, they've always got a friend. Man, any old buddy, man, you buy him a drink, and he's going to be your friend. For that night, anyhow. Amen, or oh me. Yeah. You know how it is. You've been there probably, and you've done that kind of thing. You know, we've wasted the things that God has given us, our life, that gift so precious in our life. We have desired, we want to be away from the Father, don't we? You know, that old natural nature there, that old sinful nature always wants to get away from the Father. Because, you know, we those thou shalt nots, they bother us, don't they? We don't want anybody telling us we can't eat of the tree. We don't want anybody telling us we can't do what we want to. We don't like anybody telling us you have to be in by a certain time. I never will forget, my daddy said, you be in by 10 o'clock. And he didn't mean 10:05 either, brother. He meant 10 o'clock. And if he told us there, when we got in high school, we got a little freedom, 10:30. Big deal, you know. 11 o'clock, maybe. But you did what daddy told you. And I thought to myself, man, I can't wait till I get out of school. I can't wait till I get my own car. I can't wait till I get my own place. I'll stay out to 11 o'clock if I want to. Man, I've always been one to want to go to bed early, you know. At 9:30, I'm already tired. Guess it's all this good living I'm doing now. It just makes you tired. But you know what? That's the way we are. We don't want somebody telling us what to do. We like to live wild and reckless and loose and extravagant, man. We'll buy things. You know, I walked into a restaurant. Man, I was in high school. I was grown up. I got to be on my own in high school, got my job. Instead of a hamburger and french fries, man, I was going to eat. I said, give me a chicken fried steak. Thought that was cool, man. I had a chicken fried steak. They brought me out a chicken fried steak. Ate every bit of that. I was living extravagant. This man thought he had it all, this young man. And he did. In that natural state, the Bible says we are sinners and we are separated from the Father and we are enemies of God. We have rebelled against God and all we want is our way. We think that's the kind of life to live, don't we? I hear young people tell me, well, when I get out of high school, I'm going to go off to college and nobody's going to tell me how to do things. And we do, don't we? And so many times we go off to college, and I was talking to someone this morning about our seniors. We got 10 of them here, I believe, maybe more. Seniors, when you go off to college, you're going to make some choices. Let me tell you something. Those choices that you make will affect you the rest of your life. You make them for Christ. You don't have to waste your life in riotous, reckless living. Just stay close to God, you see. We think we have it all. This young man said, you know, this is not bad out here. But what happened? There always something happens. He ran out of money, didn't he? The Bible says, worse than running out of money, there was a famine in the land. You say you may be footloose and fancy free, but there's a famine in the land. And when you see that word famine in the land, it simply means God's judgment is upon the land. And God's judgment was upon this young man for all that he had done, the life that he had lived. Now there's a famine in the land. And let me tell you something. He's going to have to face God. He's going to have to face judgment. And listen, nobody is his friend now. Where are all those people that were so glad to take his money and to spend his money and have him around? Where are they? They're not to be found. He says nobody would give him anything to eat. No one wanted to give him anything. Man, he said, I would have gladly filled my stomach with just the pods that the swine ate. But he couldn't even have them. Folks, he is at the very lowest point of his life. The Bible says he joined himself to a citizen of the country. In other words, a Gentile. He joined himself to a Gentile. And no respecting Jew would join into a Gentile. So we know that he had at the lowest point of life, he saw no hope there. And let me tell you, there's some of you today probably that you've lived your life and you've been like this young man. You've wasted everything you've had. And you come to church today, maybe you come with a friend, maybe you're here for Memorial Weekend or whatever, and you're like this, and you say, you know, that's me. I've wasted every opportunity that God has given me, and you're at the very lowest point in your life. There's nowhere else to turn. This was this young man. He had nowhere to turn to. He's feeding the hogs in this pen. There's a famine in the land. You know what? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In 1979, I realized that I was, no, in 1970, about 73, I realized that I was like this young man. There was a famine in my life. I had everything you could want. I had a beautiful wife, two wonderful children. But inside, I knew I wasn't saved. And there was a famine there. There was a hunger in my heart. And I was thinking, it just don't satisfy. There's nothing there to satisfy that. And then one night I heard, it was in 1975, I said 1973. But one day I was sitting on the fourth row at Eastside Baptist Church, and a preacher was preaching. And I heard about this man named Jesus. Man, I'd heard about Jesus all my life. I grew up in church. I had a daddy and mother that went to church. Daddy made me play the piano for church. That's exactly. I played the piano for church. Why? Because he promised he'd buy me a horse. He bought that horse, but life was still empty. It will not satisfy you. The things of the world don't satisfy you. And we thought we had it all. But still, after going to church all my life, I was Sunday school superintendent there. I was RAGA director and things like that. But I was still lost inside. I was empty. All that life was based on was a lie. My lie, telling other people that I was in church, saved. Wasn't saved. But you know what? I was kind of like this man here. I came to myself. I began to think. You know, when you are fake, when you are living a lie, the old devil will lie to you. And the old devil kept saying, just go on. You're all right. You've got everybody fooled. You can sit there in a church pew for the rest of your life. Nobody will ever know. And that's the way we are, aren't we? Some of you may be adults today, and you're sitting there, and you've been in church all your life. But you've been a fake all your life. Oh, it happens. One of the greatest preachers in the world, Billy Graham, says about 60% or 40% of our congregation are lost. They've never had a real personal relationship with a father. They've just come, and the famine's in their life. They're empty. And we have attached ourselves, not to a Gentile, but we've attached ourselves to a church. And we say, okay, as long as we're in church, we're all right. Churches do not save you. If you've attached your name to a church and you say, well, I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Gunbarrel, I'm sorry, but one day you stand before God, that's not going to get you into heaven. You see? You've got to come to yourself. The Bible says, he began to think, just how many of my fathers have hired servants have bread enough to eat, and I'm perishing with hunger. And then he began to think, you know what? I'm going to arise. I'm going to get up out of this pig pen, and I'm going to the Father. And I'm going to say to him, he rehearsed what he was going to say. You ever did that? Well, I'm going to rehearse it. And he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. He was wanting some food, wasn't he? He was willing to be a hired servant under his father's rule. And I just imagine he would obey every rule that the Father had as long as he would give him something to eat. And he arose and came to the father. He did what he was thinking about. And while he was still a great way off, the father was standing there looking for him and ran to meet him, fell on him and kissed him and said, "Son, welcome home." Isn't that great? Let me tell you something. God will welcome you no matter what you've done. I had a man in prison tell me, "I don't think I'd be welcome in church." Let me tell you, you may not be welcome in church, but God will welcome you if you'll just come to Him. "Well, I've committed adultery." Well, let me tell you something. The woman at the well had five husbands. I think she'd committed adultery. And God says, "Welcome." The woman knelt before, was going to be stoned. And Jesus said, "You who without sin, you cast the first stone." You know what? There was none there left. Because all have sinned. We're looking at a sinner today. You're looking at a sinner that one day decided to get up and go to the Father. And the Father told me, "Welcome home." Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful words? I hope we never take that off the side. Welcome home. You've got a place with God if you'll come. That's the longing of the Father. This Father, he didn't ask him about all his wasted substance. He didn't ask him, "Hey, son, where's the money that I gave you?" He didn't condemn him. "Oh, son, you've been living out there with every kind of woman there is and drinking it." No. God's not going to beat you over the head for all that sin that you've done. He's just going to wipe it clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that means every single sin that you have committed, God says, "I will forgive." But what about the unpardonable sin, preacher? What about that sin? What is that? Maybe I've committed that. Let me tell you something. If you're sitting there this morning and you are feeling the urge to come here and get saved, you hadn't committed that yet. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit no longer even touches you. But if God is stirring your heart and He's saying, "Why don't you get up? Why don't you forget being a fake and come to me for real and give your life to the Father?" You know what this father did? The son wanted to be one of the hired servants and sit out in the barn and eat a little meat lunch or dinner. No. The father said, "Listen, servants, you go get a robe and you put it on him. You get my ring and put on his finger. You get sandals and put on his feet. And you go out there and you kill that special calf, that one that we fattened up for a time. For my son who was once lost is now found and come home." Folks, Jesus says, you come to him, you can have his robe of righteousness, not yours. He'll put his robe on you. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, isn't it? He'll seal you with His Holy Spirit. You come this morning, and He'll let you know that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Wouldn't you like to be saved? Wouldn't you like to come clean? The Father says, "Welcome home, son. You're not a servant. You're my son. Welcome home." Would you come this morning? We're going to sing of invitation. And God may be calling you to come home. Would you come home this morning? No matter what you've done, the old devil's going to try to tell you you're all right. But if you felt God stir your heart, you're not all right. You come and make it right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you loved us so much. The Bible says that you gave your son for us. And then not only did you give your son for us, Lord, you made a way for us to come home through him. And Lord, the Bible says if we confess our sin, you're faithful. You're faithful. And one day we'll stand before you and we'll hear, "Welcome home, thy good and faithful servant." Lord, if there's someone here, may they come this morning for any decision. Maybe they're looking for a church home, and this is the place that you've led them. Will they come and join this fellowship? Whatever decisions need to be made, Lord, it's up to you to touch the hearts. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.